Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoppen with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoppen. We're talking about a new book, Cancer Incorporated, by today's guest, Dr. Ralph Moss. Ralph has a PhD. He is formerly with Memorial Sloan Kettering as sort of in the PR department, writing about all the marvelous breakthroughs that they were achieving in the 1970s. Thought better of it, embarked on a different career where he's critical of the cancer establishment. In 1980, he wrote a book called The Cancer Industry. 40 years hence, he's got a new book, Cancer Incorporated. Ralph, you know, there's some wonderful reviews of your book. Dr. Wayne Jonas, who we've interviewed here on Intelligent Medicine, writes, "The cancer profit engine will continue to suck money out of the suffering." And Thomas Seyfried, who we also interviewed here on Intelligent Medicine, "Ralph Moss has illuminated the dark side of the cancer industry." So, you know, a couple of things I wanted to share with you. You know, I have an article here in front of me from the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, it's just characteristic of a lot of the sort of rave reviews of progress in cancer. And it's a company modestly called Grail in Menlo Park, California, right in the heart of Silicon Valley. And they've come up with a new amazing test that can tell you whether you have cancer, but not just advanced cancer, but in the very earliest stages of cancer. It's based on artificial intelligence and machine learning, you know, just with a simple blood test, it can find cancer well before symptoms show up in stage one or sooner. I'm quoting here, "When therapies are cheap and effective, it will be a massive game changer. Because we'll be able to detect when patients have cancer even before it becomes manifest in the body." Do you see any problems here with this? I mean, there's no, in this article, there's nothing, there are no reservations. By the way, Grail has raised almost $2 billion, including from Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos. Isn't that interesting? What do you say? I mean, this is what we're looking for. I mean, it's like getting, you know, cholesterol and HDL, but this is, you know, for cancer, to predict cancer development. And then we can get in there early with therapies to check the cancer.
Well, it could be good. Could be a two-edged sword. My own cancer was detected through a test like that. It was approved for use, but not approved as effective. It was called Oncoblot. And Jim Moray, who was a professor at Purdue University in Indiana, was the one who devised that, and I was lucky enough to know him, and I got that test done, and that indicated loud and clear that I had prostate cancer. Then when I went to my urologist, she poo-pooed this, and it was unproven tests, etc., etc., and she assured me, "No way on earth that you have a serious case of prostate cancer." Well, it turned out I had two large, highly malignant Gleason 8 tumors in my prostate. Okay. So I'm a beneficiary of
early screening.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And of more rational management of my own condition because at NYU, my doctor was willing to do an MRI in advance before doing a biopsy. I really, like most men, I think I was very hesitant to have 20 holes poked into my prostate. Yeah. And I wouldn't have done it if I didn't see in front of my face the picture of the MRI.
And sometimes the MRI will exonerate you. You know, it'll be like, oh, you know, your PSA is elevated, but your MRI is clear, so you can wait and, you know, get a PSA again in 6 months or a year, and we'll see where it's going.
Absolutely. Yeah. That would be the rational way of doing things. Some urologists, I think, lean very heavily on doing these prostate biopsies. They know how to do them. They're pretty, you know, definitive, although they can miss. If you haven't taken an MRI in advance, you hardly know where to poke those needles. So I'd say do the MRI first, then
it's a little bit like the game we used to play as kids, Battleship. You know, you just, you know, you fire the torpedoes randomly and, you know, you hope you hit something.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I mean that's good, but on the other hand, when Jim Murray, who unfortunately has himself passed away in the intervening years, but when he did a study of people, random people in South Bend or one of the cities in Indiana, they found that about 40% of the people, adults on the street, already had signs of cancer. Yeah. So if you go find early enough, I've always said you can sort of have as much cancer as you want in a society, because 40% is the number of people who will develop cancer in the United States. And it couldn't be coincidental, or if it's be a weird coincidence, that it's exactly the same number of people who showed up with, you know, early or late cancers in the Oncoblot test, meaning that cancers develop early, much earlier than we think.
The concern would be about overdiagnosis, because we know that certain prostate cancers are relatively indolent, and you know, you may die of your prostate cancer at 105. You know, actually, or not die of your, you know, die of heart disease 105 with it.
Die with it. Yeah. Die with it, not of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, that is a very, very big concern, and that was the problem with the introduction of the PSA test as a screening tool. Is that there are so many other situations in which a person could have elevated PSA. And I always consoled myself by saying, oh, since I had an attack of prostatitis back in the 1980s, I thought, well, that's what this must be. Mm-hmm. But then it kept creeping up. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. But if we start to diagnose, I mean, think of how many breast cancers in the earliest stages are going to be diagnosed with these new liquid biopsy tests, as they call them. It's going to overwhelm the medical system. And are we really ready to do that, much less in an era in which, you know, COVID-19 is already taking up so much of the entire medical system? So it raises all kinds of important questions. I think from an individual point of view, it's better to know than not to know. What you do about that, I'm a strong believer, as you probably are, in the great potential of nutraceuticals and natural products in terms of prevention of cancer, leaving aside the question of the concurrent use of these substances. So I have great faith and hope that things like curcumin, like resveratrol, genistein, sulforaphane, green tea, that these things could be things that people could take to ward off the likelihood of a cancer ever
becoming. I think the term is chemoprophylaxis, you know, is like, which is like prevention, you know, much as we might use statins for preventing cardiovascular disease, as dubious as their claim to fame might be, you know, we might use some of these natural substances to prevent or slow the progression of early cancers. There's a new initiative, the Right to Try initiative, which has been touted by the current administration. It's like, hey, you know, what the heck? Let's let these therapies come online, you know, especially for people who are desperate for a cure. Is there a potential downside to jumping into a clinical trial that, you know, maybe a bit of a moonshot trial?
Well, I don't. Yes, there is a danger in that. I am not a big fan of the moonshot of the precision medicine initiative. This may sound strange, but I think that what's when you look at it, like cancer is being defined as a genetic disease, most people have no idea what that means. So what it really means is that there are mutations associated with most cancers, and there can be multiple mutations, mm-hmm. many mutations, and it usually are, and you get different authorities tell you how many mutations there are, but 10 wouldn't be exceptional. It could be 100 mutations. Some people talk about thousands of mutations. So if you really pursue this idea of precision oncology, meaning let's do a genomic analysis of the tumor and find all the mutations, then we'll either use or existing drugs, or we will design.
That's like when people submit their tumor sample to Foundation One or something for a genetic analysis, as opposed to just looking at it under the microscope, which used to be, oh, we'll send it to pathology. You look under the microscope. Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's adenocarcinoma versus something else. Right.
Or it could be something aggressive. But now this is taken as sort of gospel truth that if you have a certain mutation, that you're going to give a drug and the drug's going to counter that. Well, you know, the great model for that was Gleevec 20-odd years ago. Remember on front cover of Time magazine, the new weapons in the war against cancer, and it showed little Gleevec pills, imatinib pills. And yes, if you have certain rare forms of cancer, relatively rare forms of cancer, you can get significant remission of the cancer with those pills, maybe even, you know, true prolongation of life. I'm not arguing that point. But the point is that was a single mutation that was caused by a misalignment of chromosome, of genes jumping from one chromosome to another, swapping their chromosome. So you have a very peculiar, unusual situation, and you give this one drug, one mutation,
leukemia, right?
It was in chronic myelogenous leukemia and also in gastrointestinal stromal tumors. And maybe a few others. So you had a terrific response. And everybody thought in 1998 to that year, to 2000, this is the future of cancer research. In other words, if we can get such a great response out of Gleevec, with these relatively rare cancers, imagine we can now analyze breast cancer. So you have the BRCA1, BRCA2, you have these different mutations, VEGF, all these, and it multiplies every time somebody does another.
It spawned a cycle of drug development, but also costly drug development and costly drug rollouts. Now there's a whole bunch of unpronounceable drugs that are out there. It's not a generic thing. It's like this drug will treat this particular genetic glitch that we find when we analyze your cancer.
Yes, and it doesn't work. I mean, and believe me, I want it to work. Mm-hmm. Of course, I want it to work as a patient myself, and also as a person who just wants there to be more effective cancer treatments. But if you look at what's happening so far with the Precision Medicine Initiative, and I have a whole 21-page chapter on this in my book, Cancer Incorporated, it just isn't working out. And that doesn't surprise me, because I think there are so many mutations that even if you were to get a temporary or slowing of the growth of the tumor, you wouldn't necessarily, the cancer would mutate.
It's sort of a whack-a-mole kind of problem.
Correct,
right?
Exactly.
You know, the cancer adapts and changes, and there's so many different possibilities, almost infinite possibilities.
And then there's another possibility, and that is maybe cancer isn't a genetic disease. Mm-hmm. I know, of course, you'd have to be blind not to see that there are somatic mutations that are associated with most cancers. But how do you know for a fact that the primary event in cancer is the mutation of the gene and not the alteration of the metabolism of the cancer cell?
And there you're echoing Thomas Seyfried, who you reference in the book.
And I have a chapter on metabolic therapy in the book. I just give sort of highlights, and Tom Seyfried helped me with that chapter, so I feel very confident in, you know, that I'm reflecting his thinking on this. There's nothing original to me in this, but this is a very profound chicken and egg kind of question that isn't, to my knowledge, has never been adequately answered. Meaning, look, we've known since 1924 or so, with the work of Otto Warburg in Germany, that a fundamental aspect of cancer is it's avid for glucose. It loves sugar. It's a sugar junkie. Why? Because the mitochondria, which are the parts of the cell, the normal cell that generates energy, they're defective in cancer. So maybe the damage is done at the level of the mitochondria, not the level of the nucleus. And if that's the case, the treatments should be directed at the mitochondria, at healing them, at making them more normal, at detoxification of the cell, or treating this question of excess glucose, which is a dangerous condition for people with early stage cancers, because the glucose that circulates in the blood offers a natural food for the growth of the cancer cell, growth medium. And we know 52% of the adult American population is now diabetic or pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. So that being the case, excess glucose in the blood is a very common condition in our country in particular. And you see the correlation between overweight, between pre-diabetes, with diabetes, and cancer.
And this doesn't necessarily argue for standalone therapies with, say, ketogenic diet or intermittent fasting, but maybe that could be an adjunct to other therapies to sort of complete the speed bumps in the progression of cancer.
Yes, it's another way. I mean, we don't know enough about cancer yet to be able to devise magic bullet treatments against the disease. And so that being the case, we have to triangulate. We have to come at this cancer, because cancer is working at different levels, at the metabolic level, at the genetic or genomic level, and even the psychological level, certainly the dietary level. So you have to, given our state of knowledge and just what we instinctually feel about how pervasive this disease is, we want to come at it from different angles, because these different angles, the different methods will synergize or can synergize. Mm-hmm. And I'm very interested these days in question of the nutraceuticals, the natural agents like curcumin. I've been doing a lot of research on curcumin and cancer, there's a vast database of laboratory research on curcumin, showing that it's a chemosensitizing agent, doesn't have very much in the way of side effects. There are people who believe that it will interfere with chemotherapy, but the overwhelming number of laboratory studies point in the opposite direction, that it'll actually decrease the side effects of drugs like cisplatin and adriamycin, and will increase the effectiveness. If there are insufficient number of clinical trials, that's not the fault of the people doing the research on curcumin, on natural products. It's the fault of the establishment, of the chemo-oriented establishment, or the patented drug-oriented establishment, not seeing any reason to want to do those studies.
Okay, folks, at this point, let's pause and allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this important message with you. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you, with great guests like Ralph Moss, who we now rejoin. What do you recommend to reform the system? Because a lot of people would argue, well, you know, it's necessary evil. It's a profit-driven system. You know, people from all over the world, if you get cancer in Brazil, you come to Memorial Sloan Kettering. Or if you get cancer in Pakistan, you come to, MD Anderson. And that's because we have a very lavish, expensive system here. But we are developing cutting-edge drugs because of the enormous profits they generate. What's the alternative?
Well, I think that the drug testing has to be, they have to break the link between the testing of drugs and the people who are doing that testing and the payments to them. So I think most of the testing should be done at government expense within the confines of the National Cancer Institute. It has its faults. I've been a big critic of National Cancer Institute for a long time, but I still think it's a whole lot better than leaving it up to the drug companies to essentially do the evaluation of their own products. That's completely
so the fox minding the chicken coop.
Absolutely. Yes. And so that would be, and I would say, if none of that works, I would nationalize the cancer drug business so that you take all these problems off the table. Yes, there would be other problems involved, of course. I mean, you have a government bureaucracy, basically, that's running the testing. But at least, unless they're breaking the law, they're not going to be as swayed by the monetary considerations, as has happened now with the top leadership of the oncology profession, has basically been bought off by the drug industry. I would also do some other things. I would open up the clinical trial system so that the patients who are in the clinical trials are more representative of the actual population, because right now they're cherry picking the patients.
Yeah, best case scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So you see, you know, if you're basically a healthy, relatively young, relatively affluent, and usually white person, that's the typical patient who's in who's entered into the clinical trial, whereas the rest of the population is not even available. 41%. By one calculation, 41% of the adult cancer patients would qualify for a clinical trial, and only 5% participate. So I would pay people to participate in clinical trials, just like we pay people to take part in, you know, to do jury duty. So I would make it affordable for people of all types.
More access.
Have access to the trial. So this is a very important thing. I would only use overall survival as the main endpoint. I would not allow progression-free survival or the response rate, what you were talking about before, to be used as so-called surrogate endpoints in trials. I think that's only like experimentally, if it's clearly delineated that these are not beneficial results. These are just signposts along the way. But to get approval, you have to focus on real benefit, cure, increased overall survival, and improved or sustained quality of life. That's what it means by real benefit. I would eliminate accelerated approval. At this time, about half to two-thirds of drugs are given accelerated approval, which means that they can declare a drug marketable. The FDA can make a drug marketable without there being proof of actual benefit.
Wow. Yeah.
And many other things. In my book, Cancer Incorporated,
it's all there. It's all there in the book.
I do. And I wanted to say that people your listeners can get a free copy of the ebook of Cancer Incorporated if they go to our website, which is mossreports.com/cancerinc.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's delineated if you go to Moss Reports where you can get a free ebook, or, okay.
Yes. Or you could just do the slash Cancer Incorporated or Cancer Inc., and it'll bring you to that page.
Awesomely good. And finally, what's a patient to do when confronted with cancer? Tell us about the Moss reports. In brief, right. What does it offer to a patient who's confronted with a lot of, shall I do chemo? Shall I do radiation? Shall I do both? Shall I consider immunotherapy? Right. Shall I enter a clinical trial? Shall I go to Germany? there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, I'd say the first thing you have to do is come up with a realistic estimate of how effective the treatment that your doctor is recommending is going to be. What are the actual benefits of that? And I've given some indication of how I approach these problems. In other words, I'm looking for true gold, not fool's gold. I'm looking for something that, yes, you should do this treatment because this treatment actually has a good chance of extending your life. Or if it doesn't, we say so. And each report is about 500 pages and is based upon both an analysis of the conventional claims made for the conventional therapy or the best of the complementary and alternative world. We don't just willy-nilly tell people to go to this clinic or that clinic, or much less.
It's a series of options. I've seen some of your reports for some of our patients.
Correct.
And just to emphasize, you're not a physician. You're not going to take their care. But what you'll do is you sort of critically evaluate some of the possibilities and, provide patients with insights into the advantages and disadvantages of various approaches for their particular cancer.
Correct. And I also do phone consultations if the case is complicated. And, the person needs to have drill down closer to their own exact situation, then we can talk that through. This is not in any way antagonistic to the advice that they're getting from their physician. The most that I'm going to say would be, here's a good point that you should raise with your oncologist. For instance, a client of mine has been told not to take a smoothie that contains like soy milk or curcumin or pomegranate extract. So what's the basis for that? Why are they? Let's find out. Get the reference from the doctor. Let's look at that together. We'll look at that reference and see if that makes any sense or are there countervailing studies that show the opposite.
This
is the thing. We're trying. I mean, it's complicated.
Yeah.
But if people want to do phone consultation, we offer that as an option as well. The reports we have on, as I say, about 30-35 different kinds of cancer. Some of our books are for sale at our website, Moss Reports, and some of them are free. So we try to, and we're also starting up a podcast of our own, and we've done, there's a lot of free material available, including the book MossReports.com, and then there's some things that people have to pay for our time and our effort to maintain. But basically, we're just trying to bring clarity to the field for people who maybe are being offered no options or else options that are unacceptable to them.
Well, I just want to congratulate you on a very long and successful career, and which has been certainly reinvigorated with the publication of Cancer Incorporated. It's a great book. It really lays out the case for a better path towards dealing with this problem that confronts so many Americans. So thank you for your work.
Really appreciate
having you as a colleague.
Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.